The Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM, a show that enhances, educates, and entertains.
Quite literally, enhances, educates, entertains. Sorry, Jared Johnson, we forgot to... Well, we didn't actually forget. There's just no time to introduce your good self.
That's okay.
But
that's
even
okay.
More shocking, we weren't able to actually go to our ace financial journalist, of whom I actually just show you a little photograph here, which was taken back in, February the 28th, 2012, in Covent Garden, with Richard Fitzwilliams. That, of course, will be the fabulous Natalie Tuck. Good morning, Natalie. How are you? Silence. Yes. Actually, obviously disconnected that. Don't worry, we will get Natalie back in a few seconds from now. In fact, Emma, would you like to take over the interviewing reins, as you are our official cover girl of the interviewing reins, exactly, and just quiz Jane on what exciting things will be coming up in a few days from now, actually a week on Sunday, with Countryside Links.
Yeah, so first of all, I want to know what you're most excited for.
Well, I suppose it's the first event for us of this type. It's Countryside Links, as Alex said. It's an experience looking at teaching families and children about food and farming and where the food comes from. There's animals and tractors and there's workshops and it's just really exciting.
And do you think it's going to be something that's quite good for the community, like getting everyone involved and everything like that?
Yeah, I do. And I think, it's an opportunity for people to see. I mean, Lincolnshire is an agricultural county, just to see what there is and for the children to learn about what happens in agriculture and to, see animals and make bread. There's lots of, Rosie's sitting next to me. She's my education officer and she's been involved from day one. So you should have put her in the hot seat, really.
It's all right. Rosie will get her. We will work our way through that. Is this the second Countryside Link? So it's the first one.
It's the first one. Obviously, most people know we're the Showground, but we're also the Agricultural Society. So we're a charity, and part of our objectives is to teach food and farming. So Rosie joined us last year in May. Rosie's an ex-primary school teacher. So we thought this is obviously helping us with our charitable objectives, but it's also something to do for the families in the Easter holidays.
Absolutely. Well, as we said, Rosie, you made your debut on the show a month ago, and here you are back again. Exactly. Sensational stuff. You must be quite excited about Countryside Links.
I am. I'm really excited about it now. I just want the event to be here next Sunday. So, yeah, it should be a fantastic
Don't
day.
Don't wish your life away.
I know.
I mean, it'll come in good time. We've got a partial eclipse since then on Friday.
Yeah.
We've got other things that might be happening. So, we just need to sort of work on that sort of premise, really.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful. We'll talk about how people get... Are tickets still available?
Tickets are available. We've got three ticket outlets, Fallon Farm Park, Ruddocks of Lincoln, and Uncle Henry's, and also on the website, Lincolnshire Showground website.
So. Of course, and we'll talk
about on the gate.
And Emma Tinson will be there as well. Is that right, Emma?
Fantastic. Yeah,
exactly. We might have Jessica Ward, who's obviously sort of sorting out a few others.
Jared
May, if he can sort out his London commitments. But Sue Royce is going to be there. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to try and reach Natalie before she heads off to work. If not, it'll be Richard Fitzwilliams. I see. Telephonic communications in every sense of the word. Be very tempting to say Roland Gift, fine young cannibals, and we don't expect to see many cannibals at the Lincolnshire Showground, but I can't be bothered with that. So let's move into the button that needs to be pressed.
You're listening to Natalie Tuck on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
And that will hopefully work, Natalie Tuck. Have we managed to connect with you?
Yes, we have.
Hey. You see, this is all down to the fact that we were looking at a photograph taken on the 20th of February 2012 of yourself and Richard Fitzwilliams, and clearly the system in Covent Garden just couldn't cope with that in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you have met, obviously, the wonderful Jane Southall from the Lincolnshire Showground and the Chief Executive Officer. Also, you haven't actually met, you've spoken to Rosie Crust, but you've never actually met her. You have met, I think, Emma Tinson. Have you just spoken to Natalie in the past?
I think we've just spoken.
You've just spoken, exactly. And Jared has not as yet had the joy of encountering good self. But you've been very busy recently in Edinburgh, listening to the works of such interesting folk as Jeremy Paxman, amongst others. So share with us, what have you been doing in Edinburgh and on other meetings which has meant that you weren't able to join us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I know, it's sad, isn't it? But no, I've been very busy. So last week I was up in Edinburgh for an investment conference, of all things. But it just so turned out that a gala dinner on the final night, Jeremy Paxman was the speaker.
Mm.
And he wasn't speaking about investment.
Was he not?
He was speaking about
University
his
Challenge.
Life. No, you know Jeremy Paxman has a one-man comedy show.
Yeah.
That he launched at the Fringe last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see he's quite funny, you know. He's got that kind of dry, sarcastic sense of humour. You know, doesn't mind kind of making humour on himself. So one of the things he said was, I think he was voted the 26th rudest man in Britain last year, and it's his goal to get into the top 10.
Well, maybe, Jane, the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society can actually help. You know, you could actually write a letter, dear Jeremy, if you'd like to come to the show, and we could actually get you into the rudest men quadrant.
We
could be sort of line
forward.
We
could help him, yes.
You
yes,
could.
Always
you could
here to help.
Provide that assistance on that whole system. Excellent. So I think he was well for that point. Just we'll actually do it because I just thought, let's have a look at that. As Richard and Natalie just outside Buckingham Palace. That's the line there. That was very sort of worthwhile. Is it, how quickly those times pass from that point of view?
I can't believe it was what. 3 years ago, if you
just
told
me. Would have been three years ago when we were actually doing
our
little London location report there. But of course, we have been to London, so I just thought it would be quite interesting to sort of follow our way through in all sorts of ways. It's quite a shocking shot, though, of somebody who actually knows what he's actually doing.
I don't know who that is.
Yes. Some bloke who every so often just does a sort of cameo appearance. Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Natalie, have you got any questions about Countryside Links, which I know if you weren't in London, you'd be delighted to come up to the Lincolnshire Showground to actually touch base on a week on Sunday. For this fabulous event, which of course is being done under the auspices of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, and the director extraordinaire, of course, I think you should still put that out of your name, Jane. Jane Southall is with us, and of course Rosie Crest. It's just Rosie's second show, so she came in today.
She
was the first person to arrive, and she looks a little bit
lonely.
I was looking for Jane. I said, it's all right. She's far away. It's fine. It all was well with that whole side of things. So, or you could even ask Jared and Emma about life, the universe, and how Emma feels now that literally overnight she's now stepped into your initial shoes of being the sole cover girl on our Facebook page.
It's a good role, isn't it? I'm glad you've taken that role over from me.
Oh! Keeping it warm, sure. Anyway, Natalie, who do you wish to chat to?
Jane, tell me about, is it Countryside Links? I've not heard of this. What is it?
It's a one-day event on the 29th of March, so it's aimed at families, and it's so they can have an experience of the farm and the countryside. So we've got different zones there. We've got animals, we've got tractors. They can bake bread. There's lots of interactive games. We've got Lincolnshire long wool sheep. We've got Lincoln red cattle. We've got chickens and rabbits, and there's willow weaving. There's lots of things for them to do, really, just to get a taste of the countryside.
That's amazing. Alex, are you going to take the team along?
That is the intention. I mean, obviously, you won't be with us, Natalie, but in the main, at this particular moment in time, it would seem as though the lineup will be Emma, it's Emma Tennyson, Sue Rice, Ed Wellman, and Jared, possibly, and hopefully Jessica Ward. So that's the line.
So it's a good team. Okay.
I think so.
And so, you know, Jane, you should set them, like, some tasks. Like they need to, you know, they could bake the bread and then you could perhaps judge which one's the best or something, you know.
Yeah, we could do, as long as Alex, you're used to disappointment.
There are a few words, Jane, that could be, I'll just hold back on that one, honestly. Bet she wouldn't have said that with BBC Lincolnshire. Anyway, that's a different line entirely. Well, there we are. I mean, obviously, we're always up for the challenge, as you know, in every sense of the word. Or indeed, as Natalie Tuck would say.
Ooh.
Exactly. So,
I really regret.
Well, I wasn't going to play it, but I figured, you know, after that challenge, exactly, you know, we could do, of course, the classic combo, which goes...
Natalie Tuck. She's a dancer, a Meryl Streep aficionado, entertainment correspondent, and from Yorkshire. What's not to love?
Ooh.
Exactly. Stella Rimmington, I gather, has also been in your general sphere of influence, and Wikipedia founder Jimmy Wales.
Yes. Ooh. So, very interesting speakers at this conference, and, Dame Stella Rimmington, yes. For those who don't know, was the first female head director general of MI5.
She was actually to MI5, what Jane Southall is to the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society.
Yeah. And
or
so,
were the roles interchanged?
You
Can't say that. Appreciate that.
But yes, Alex does know that, you know, Stella, I'm a big fan of Dame Stella Remington, and I kind of focus my dissertation on, you know, the security services and everything like that. And I read her autobiography when I was a university student. And so when this conference programme came out that it was, she was going to speak about geopolitical risks and investments, I just had to kind of tell my editor that I was going to Edinburgh. Nobody else was. So yeah, I went along, and it was just the most fascinating talk about how the world has changed from when she was obviously an intelligence officer and now. And it was quite depressing, actually. She gave kind of a very bleak outlook on the world because of all the different, you know, kind of different shoots of terrorist organisations, when back in her day it was kind of very much the West and like the Soviet bloc. But now there's so many different types, it's very difficult. And she talked a lot about the right that, you know, we have to security and to be protected from everything, but also balancing that right with our civil liberties. And it was very interesting.
Well, I always say it's always nice to have equal rights and equal opportunities for freedom fighters, but that's another line entirely, which we could go into and talk about a whole range of routines. Excellent stuff. Rosie, any sort of questions you'd like to put to Natalie about what it's like having tea at Claridge's and the sort of things she does after being a driver and so on?
Wish I could.
Your time will come, Rosie. Yeah. It's just your second show.
Yeah. Gosh, I don't think so.
Okay, then. Yeah. Jared?
How was going to Edinburgh?
It's full of Scottish people as well, I think.
Yeah. Is it the first time you've been to that kind of conference?
Across the border.
Yeah.
It was my first time at this conference. So I'm a pensioned journalist, and I write about kind of the investment side and the changes to the pensions. Mm-hmm. And so this was my first time at the investment conference, which really looks kind of is to give advice to the pension schemes about, you know, what they should be investing in to be able to, you know, pay out all their liabilities to the pensioners that they owe them. So it was, you know, very interesting. But they do have these kind of speakers in, like Stella Remington, you know, giving her sort of geopolitical
risk. She needs a pension as well.
It's kind of tedious. Yeah, someone commented, it was very funny that one of the members of the audience commented that they said it to her, that she would probably have a very healthy public sector pension, which went down very well in the auditorium.
How did she take it?
Yeah, no, she just laughed.
Think of the paycheck, Jared. That's what you do. Think of the paycheck.
But yeah, very interesting. You know, as a journalist, it's very nice. You kind of just have to go along to the speakers, and you know, they say some very interesting things, and you get a lot of good quality stories from them. You know, because there's some very big names who've got very interesting things to say, and you know, it's a great opportunity to network with people as well, because you've got kind of the whole industry there. Of a journalist there, and it's a really great event, and it's nice, yeah.
I think you've sold it to us, Natalie. Well done. It's nice to see that, obviously, proof once again that even though, you know, she's moved to London, unbelievable, there's still life after the midweek drive, and you're still very much at the heart of the team. Emma, last two questions for Natalie Tuck, please.
Of course. Natalie, have you enjoyed your time on the midweek drive this morning?
Yes, I have, as always. It's great to speak to everyone.
And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
I'm sure I will be.
There we go. Natalie Tuck will return. I've just realised, actually, Jane, this is the first time you've done a morning edition, I believe, because normally you're a Wednesday evening girl.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm happy to do this. I mean, I'm normally at work.
I know, exactly. In fact, you know, usually it's a case of 24-hour Jane. You know,
yeah, I was having a cup of tea at 2 o'clock this morning. Yeah, thinking about some work.
Relentless, my girl. That's the key, and it's the standard is set. Obviously, you know, which clearly Rosie lives up to. She's fantastic. Okay, we can now go to a gentleman who was that other part of the photographs that we were looking at there when we're connecting with Natalie Tucker, of course, when we were doing the Mall back in 2012. Richard Fitzwilliams. I thought you were going to give him a round of applause there for a moment, no, Emma. I thought she was so hot.
I mean, Richard is good.
But as yet, I think we are scheduling another little Richard Fitzwilliams piece. Usually tends to be February, March time, but it's probably going to be early April this year, actually, due to events. We were thinking.
I look forward to it.
Do you see? Exactly. And where do we? Should we go to Lord Attenborough's memorial service? Should we go to Love is Strange? Well, isn't it? Or should we actually go to Cinderella? Where do you want to actually take the listener and the team this fine March morning?
On Tuesday, the memorial service, I think, for Lord Attenborough. First, don't you? Because at Westminster Abbey, I mean, it is absolutely magnificent, and also to see so many famous faces. I mean, as you would expect from someone who was so extraordinarily versatile as an actor and as a director, not to mention being, I would say, the driving force behind the British film industry for many, many years. I mean, this really was fascinating. And also, I have to mention his taste in hymns. When you have to be a pilgrim, Jerusalem, come down, O love divine. I mean, that is splendid. It really was a terrific show.
Excellent. Well, there we are. Marvellous stuff there, and I'm sure he will have ascended to actually shoot the proverbial metaphorical breeze with Leonard Nimoy and Sir Terry Pratchett. Now, there's a cast list you wouldn't necessarily sort of put forward, but there it does.
What you would need is a cast list. When it comes to pure magic, how do you like your fairy tales? Should they transport you into a world of never, never land? I mean, that's what it should be.
Let's just hold it there. We'll do a quick round robin. Rosie Crust, how do you like your fairy tales?
Oh, into a never, never land.
Into a never, never land.
Yeah.
Jane Southall?
I'll agree with Rosie.
Yes, so into a never, never land, which is the Lincolnshire Agriculture Society, really, let's face it. First star on the left, straight onto the morning. Emma Tinson.
Yeah, I agree. There has to be something a bit magical about it.
Magical, okay. Yeah. And Jared?
There's two things for me that I look for. One is a moral message,
one's
a transvestite wolf.
And a transvestite wolf.
That is essential.
Well, I think the transvestite wolf is the most important of the two.
Yeah.
little in fact, I've just realised we haven't done the weather forecast as transvestite wolves. It's highs of 7 degrees centigrade, lows of 3 degrees centigrade, a cloudy start, gradually brightening with some sunny intervals, but no transvestite wolves on the show.
Well, is that a summary of Into the Woods? It sounded like it.
But you are here to talk about the new adaptation, yet again, taking that line, just as Maleficent did, of course, a year or so ago. Cinderella has moved into a whole routine where it becomes live action as opposed to animation.
Yes, well, of course, Maleficent was as well, but Maleficent, it was very good fun. It was enjoyable. It wasn't especially subtle. Angelina Jolie, well, you remember and remembers her. One remembers, I think, rather little about the rest of it. But here you have something not only magical, not only perfectly cast, but extraordinarily beautiful. I mean, this costumes in this, the Swarovski glass slippers, I mean, surely members of the team, I mean, that appeals. I mean, the whole thing is absolutely wonderfully sumptuous. That the ballroom scene must be based, for example, on part of The Leopard or War and Peace or Waterloo, some of the famous ones in cinema. I mean, this, directed by Kenneth Branagh, is absolutely lovely. We have Ella, played by Lily James, who's a beauty and who is the perfect Cinderella. Her kindly merchant father has remarried, and her new stepmother. And this is Cate Blanchett as unforgettably evil. A certain style when it comes to dress. The costumes here are absolutely lovely. But the two daughters, Anastasia, played by Holiday Granger, and Drizella, played by Sophie McShearer, Well, alas, once her father dies, Ella is at the mercy of these monsters. She's exiled to the attic. She has to work as a servant. She's nicknamed Cinderella, and she's bad-treated. But during a hunt, where she happens to be in the forest, she meets a handsome stranger played by Richard Madden. She believes he's a kit, an apprentice at the palace. But, of course, he's the prince, and their chemistry is immediate. To track her down, the king, played by Jerry Jacobi, gives a ball at the palace, to which all maidens in the kingdom are invited. But what does the wicked stepmother plan for her daughters?
Don't give spoilers away. We don't know what could happen. She could get splinters from a glass slipper. We're seeing the trailer at present, actually. Well, actually, several of us are. Jared, sadly, is setting behind the monitor, so we actually might move up, etc. Very exciting. Kenneth Branagh, of course, behind the whole system. Kenneth, who says that he's not becoming cynical. Hollywood's made him cynical. I can't believe that. I'll chase that with Phil Leonis in the near future.
Well, but, I mean, if there's cynicism in this movie, I certainly didn't see any. Hollywood may have made him cynical as to how big studios work on the whole, but when it comes to Disney, they've never produced anything as gorgeous as this. As I say, the colours, the costumes, performances that are enchanting, including Stellan Skarsgård, by the way, as the pretty dodgy villain. He's the vice chancellor, and he certainly doesn't want to see a marriage between the prince and anyone other than someone he can do deals with when it comes to foreign affairs and all of that. The facts are that this is a tale of magic, pure magic, really to savour, because it's charming and because it's extraordinarily attractive.
I'm still concerned about the health and safety issues of the glass slipper. I'm sorry, but, you know, and also we've just seen it sort of fall down there. If that sort of gets a splinter in your heel, I mean, I wouldn't want to say, you know, the ramifications in legal terms alone, fairly drastic.
Well, the ramifications, I have to say, when you're alone and, well, your evil stepmother and her daughters have gone off to the ball, and there's an old beggar lady, and what can she do?
There's more to the legend than you ever dreamed.
Could she, in fact, be the fairy godmother, and what happens? I'm giving no spoilers as to the transformation that takes place. Suffice it to say that it is absolutely beautifully done. I mean, this is, for a fairy tale movie, I think it's about the best I've ever seen. I was enchanted by it. I'm going to pop it to see it a second time because I just think it's lovely. It just works a treat.
Well, Richard, we've finally got in touch with your overall sort of assistant. We've had a good look at that. Jane, does this movie sort of float your boat? Do you think, I've got to check that one out then, Cinderella?
Well, I mean, Cinderella's sort of an old tale, isn't it, really? And what you were saying, I think, we know what the next part's going to happen. But just looking at the pictures, it was great. And I'm just looking at her beautiful blue dress, and I saw these little children desperately wanting that dress.
So it's a great marketing opportunity there,
eh? It is, yes, once they've been to see it.
Exactly.
Costume Sandy Powell. I mean, there's a special exhibition in Leicester Square, I understand, about to open. And it really would be well worth seeing once you've seen the movie, of course.
All right, Richard, we might cover that in the next hour. Rosie, Cinderella, from what you've actually just seen, the sort of movie which you think, yes, it takes me back to why I became a primary school teacher and possibly why I left.
Yeah, all children love Disney, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Emma?
Yeah, I think it looks great. I mean, I've seen some posters around and the costumes look absolutely amazing. And it's got such a good cast as well, which I think is really important. So.
Oh, the cast, they're all marvellous. And Kate Blanchett, I mean, she really relishes being an absolute horror. No, this is a movie which works. And Lily James and the various... As I say, the less you see, I wouldn't have looked at the trailer. I'd have gone to the movie here, as you know. But the fact are that it is a real success. This works. It's lavish, and that's lovely too.
Jared, lavish and lovely.
I mean, yeah, nostalgia's been sort of rushing
it's
over me
it
as we've
be,
been
it, really?
Talking about it. But yeah, I'll pop along and see it, I think.
Even though no transvestite wolves.
Unfortunately not, but...
Well, they may be, I may
well,
not.
Well, yeah.
I didn't see them.
That might be the spoilers Richard's talking about.
Very true. Okay, Richard, from there to something else you found equally moving or more moving in its own way, where would you like to take us now?
Love is Strange. This is directed by Ira Sachs, set in contemporary New York, and it premiered at Sundance, and it's a very insightful, touching film Ben, played by John Lithgow, and George, played by Alfred Molina, get married after 39 years together. George is a teacher of music in a Catholic school, but as he feared he might, he gets the sack, which says it all when it comes to certain Catholic attitudes about gay marriage. So they have to ask their friends and family for shelter since they can no longer afford the apartment they live in. Ben stays in Brooklyn with his nephew Elliot, played by Darren Burroughs, and his wife Hate, played by Marisa Tomei. Beautiful performances, as well as their teenage son Joey, played by Charlie Tahan. George stays with same-sex cops Roberto and Ted, who are former neighbours. And what this is a fascinating, observed film, because when you're in someone else's home, there is a bit of a squeeze, there is a bit of an inconvenience. There are wonderfully observed social nuances where you interrupt someone's work by talking when they'd rather you didn't, and they're trying not to be rude. It's one of those movies that is so touching. I mean, John Lithgow is absolutely superb as Ben, the older and frailer of the two. Alfred Molina, usually good, unless he's playing a villain. As George, excellent performance. It's an intelligent and sensitive film which looks at how real love can triumph through adversity with the help of friends, but also it's not one of those easy movies, because the problems met during the period when they're separated, and the way they try and balance things in the various homes not spacious in which they are staying.
We can see on the trailer, Richard, we're just seeing a very cramped, spacious environment with Alfred Molina in there. It's not good at all.
Well, it is an extraordinarily sensitive movie. You just see various sides of humanity. It's absolutely fascinating. Always good to see the Big Apple as the ideal set. And from the problems where George finds Roberto and Joe's tremendously noisy, to the way Ben keeps interrupting the space and quiet that Marisa Tomei's character, Kate, is used to. It's so beautifully played. I mean, the reason I love this movie is that it's so human, it's got such lovely performances in it, and there are so many nuances, the various scenes, people interacting with each other. They lack that terrifying contrivance that you so often find in Hollywood movies. This is really touching. It's a movie.
And yet, Richard, surely neither Alfred Molina could, or indeed John Lithgow, could beat their superlative performances as Dr. Octopus and Harry in Harry and the Hendersons, respectively.
I thought you might remember Octopus.
Yes, well, you know, it's the Alfred Molina.
I wouldn't even mention it in this context. Really, I wouldn't.
Otto Octavius.
Alfred Molina can be exceptionally good, and also he can overact terribly. But here, you don't find any overacting. You don't find contrivance.
That's because he hasn't got his extra arms, that's all. You know, which, of course, he had as Otto Octavius.
You find a beautifully told story. So I really urge anyone who likes a sensitive, an intelligent film which examines the human condition so incisively, you'll love this movie. It's a beautiful, sensitive movie.
Jared Johnson, do you like a sensitive and intelligent
You've
film?
You've sold it to me, Richard. I'll be straight there. Is it out already in cinemas?
Yes, and it's been out for a while. I just happened to catch it, and I really urge you to see it, because I mean, these are lovely performances, and there's one contrivance in the plot towards the end, but I have to say, Marisa Tomei also deserves a special mention, and Charlie Tahan as her teenage son, because this is such a lovely movie. It's uplifting, but it's also sometimes quite tough to watch, and it's never predictable.
Emma Tinson.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a movie I'd usually pick out to go and watch, but it sounds really interesting, and it sounds like all of the characters go on a different journey and develop over time. So I think it'd be quite interesting to see the relationships between all of the characters. So
especially when you have a married couple who are separated, and then they have to come to terms with life in different environments, which is challenging, and But it's the way, as it were, you could be... This movie could be, so to speak, a camera on the wall filming real people in genuine situations as opposed to those which have been knocked up by studio scriptwriters. And I just loved it.
Well, it says here on my script, this is a live show. So, Jane, Love is Strange?
It sounds really a good movie. Yeah, I'd like to go and see it. It's a shame, really, I suppose, now in 2015 that there's still discrimination against these sort of relationships. But also, as you get older, and I know that, you know how you like
Jane,
to
live. Jane, please, we don't use the O word on the show. We okay. become experientially enhanced or chronologically gifted, for goodness sakes, okay. please.
But as you get older, you like how you live. Yeah, sorry. I'm getting older. I get what you mean now. So, you know, if all of a sudden I had to go and live with somebody else, it would be like, well, I like this way, because you get set in your ways, don't you? Wow. So then to be put in
because your
situation.
Way is the right way, Jane.
Oh, of
clearly.
Course, of course.
Rosie Crest.
Yeah, you've sold it to me. I think I'll go and watch it, definitely.
If you have time.
If I have time, yeah.
Jim, it's beautiful, and John Lithgow, and when given the right role, Alfred Molina, not as an octopus.
he wasn't an octopus, he was Dr. Octopus, one of Spider-Man's...
He's a scientist.
Exactly, Otto Octavius.
You're reminding me of one of the most terrible characters
If he'd had a glass slipper, you would have been raving about it. But no, you know, it's just because he had those sort of octopus arms fused
what
to his
I'm
body.
What I'm raving about is when he's given a proper part. You remember Frida?
Exactly.
Yes. Well, when he's given a proper part, he acts terribly well, and he does it here. And John Lithgow is a wonderful actor. I mean, and he's the frailer of the couple, and this, too, plays a significant part in the story.
Okay. Well, I've just been reading the fabulous text by Mr. Green, of course, based on The Fault in Our Stars, which is a movie also you found very moving about sort of dying in all sorts of other areas.
Yes, the story is terribly poignant.
It is.
I have to say that as a movie, this worked far better for me.
Really?
Yes.
Well, next question then, Richard. Bibbidi Bobbidi Bow. From Louis Armstrong's version in Cinderella, or a Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes, or Britney Spears and Cinderella. What do you think we should go to the next part of the programme with? You know, you've got Britney, Louis Armstrong, or indeed Elena Woods.
How about Britney?
I did not see that coming.
Left field. But Emma, last two questions for Richard, please.
Of course, Richard, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, and I hope you all enjoy Cinderella and Love is Strange.
I'm sure we will. Will you be joining us again on the show next week?
I look forward to it enormously, and remember what's happening next Thursday, and I expect Alex to pick up on this immediately. What is happening next
What's week? Happening next Thursday, Richard? There's your cue.
Well,
he's gone very quiet. Has he gone?
I'm thinking of a certain king being buried.
You're talking Richard III again, are we?
Yes, yeah, we are.
Yeah. You see, this is it's always Richard III. Look, let him. He wants to do some shopping in the supermarket. Just let him get on with it.